Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to She Podcast. This is Jessica Kupferman. We are coming to you live in the Super Squad. It is March 30th.
Yes. When we're recording, so you guys will see this towards the end of the week.
Wow. You know why April I keep doing 3rd. That? You know why? I keep doing that? Because I've gotten into listening to the newsworthy, and when she starts her show, she goes, today is Wednesday, March 20, you know, and then she goes, and on with the news, so that you know that it's relevant, whereas we have no need to do that. So I'm just doing it because it's habit now. Yeah, so today is Monday. We are recording. It is week. I am going on week 3 of quarantine. I think we are all going on roughly week 2.5, 3.
I think we need to change up the way we talk about this. This isn't a quarantine. What this is a government mandated staycation is what it is. If you think about it that way.
A forced staycation. And I'm still surviving. I'm okay. The sun is out today, so I'll be able to breathe in fresh air, so it should be better than the weekend. Again, I'm Jessica. With me, as always, my beautiful and slight co-host, Miss Elsie Escobar. And when I say slight, I really just mean the width of her arms and not not her in particular. And then the ever so prominent
and portly
John Jamingo, our producer. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm just sitting here trying to hide from the kaboomer flu.
I was really excited to do this live in the Super Squad today, and now that I'm looking at myself, I remembered that right before PodFest, we started the very long and laborious transition for me to see my natural color, which meant much of it is white. So, so like, also, if you guys who are in the group can see, I have one patch in the basic middle of my head that will not turn white. It's just not gray. The rest of it. The rest of it is white as hell. And so when my hair is pulled back, I have a red ponytail and then a gray, gray temples and gray forehead. It's the weirdest hair color I've ever had.
It's like a reverse Pepe Le Pew.
The reason she did red is because basically my hair was very dark and I have to lighten the dark to get to the gray. And then I have to darken the gray to get, she's trying to match the roots with the back, and this is how she does it. She sort of like draws them towards this one middle color and then slowly lightens it as my roots grow out. We've done it one time and it was a month ago. And so now my hair has grown out a month, and looks like the forced staycation is going to go on another month, which means I'm going to have gray hair Bob by then.
Gray hair Bob.
And then the rest of it will be like fire engine red, because the shampoo is like kind of washing out the toner, and it's just going to be like gray and orange.
That's well, what it's I'm kind of look like. Isn't that what do those people call it? Like with the colors
ugly
at the bottom? No,
balayage.
Balayage.
So yes, I could do. Something. I mean, yeah, it's kind of we'll see. It won't look that pretty.
Nobody's really seeing you though.
I'm being seen at QA. I mean, I've had more Zoom calls in the last week than I have in probably the last 5 years. I've Zoomed with my college friends, my camp friends, my mom friends. Isaac has a Zoom every other day. And like, I'm seen. I have to, I need to. This is the only thing I really can't hide. I could literally hide anything else.
Right. But it's a front.
Like a big zit, no problem. Double chin, sort of. But like, this is the one thing that I really. Unless I paint it with mascara, I'm screwed. Luckily, my hairdresser, I did her website like a year or so ago. She asked me for a website. I threw one up in like 2 hours. And call for desperate measures. Like I texted her and I was like, if you don't give me the very first appointment when you reopen your salon, your site's coming down. Just letting you know now. I'm going to yank that shit down unless you get me in there first.
Now, what happened here is that one of the salons around here said, hey, listen, what we're going to do is if you let us know, we'll mix you color just enough to do the roots and everything for like 2 times.
And you curbside pickup. Someone's doing that here.
Curbside pickup, right? So you can do your roots. They didn't give you enough to do your whole head or whatever, but they're going to give you enough to kind of touch up things.
But she's doing this whole foil combo of gray and.
Yeah, I don't know. I was about ready to shave my head the other day.
I kind of like, I mean.
It doesn't look bad.
It's pretty, right?
I'm like,
I had a funny feeling it would look good because my eyebrows, they're not gray, but like I have a medium brown color and like I just want my eyebrows to match. Like when I have dark hair, my eyebrows look very sparse And when I have light hair, it's orange. So, like, I just wanted to go back to natural because I feel like with blue eyes, gray hair looks pretty. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I see a lot of people now that are doing the same thing, doing a lot of live video, and yeah. they have not been to their hairdressers either. And to be honest with you, it is what it is, people. Let's not worry about the nonsense. Here's the thing. If someone gave you
– You know, John, said, just because you can wear a fucking hat every day doesn't make it nonsense.
All right,
you know
I'll
what
take
I'm
my,
saying?
You want, I'll take, how dare I'll take you,
sir? This is a women's show, goddammit. You don't get to tell us what's nonsense.
If I put my head up like this, nobody can see it anyhow.
You mansplaining motherfucker. No, you wait. Stop it now.
Hang on. What I'm saying is, how many times did you say, my God, if I could just get a month off to just relax? And now
I don't
we
have
this
off.
Month.
I have an event in October. I don't have an
okay,
month
yeah,
off.
Okay, so you don't. But like a lot of people are like, oh, I just want like a month to kind of reset and relax.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden we get this time and people are like, I got to get out of here. We've only been in for like a week and we're like, I'm the same way. My life hasn't changed.
Have you ever noticed that like it's never a good time for somebody to like go to the hospital, get in a car accident or die? Like it's always a huge inconvenience if somebody gets sick or dies. So like the fact that like out of nowhere we can't do the things is going to be like the biggest inconvenience of our lives because everything has to halt. Everything has halted. I mean, you guys know this, but still, it's like you can't do anything. Wait, so what was I talking about? We were talking about the quarantine. We're talking about what?
Hair color.
Oh, I saw a funny meme. So I've been seeing all these funny memes like, oh, in 3 weeks, we're going to know what everyone's natural hair color is. But I saw another one that was like, by the end of this month, everyone's going to look like they're transitioning men and women.
Yes.
And that is so true.
Oh, man.
Anyway, not that it matters. I mean, you know, but the transition's rough on all of us. That's all we're saying. Okay. So we have lots of stuff to get to today. Some news. All of it is COVID-19 relevant. That's what I tried to pull. I don't know if you – did you add anything that was completely
non? No, I think everything is the same. It's all the
same. What
could
be not – what the fuck's not – I mean, it has to be relevant because this is our whole lives right now.
Right.
So why don't we just launch into the – I mean, unless you guys have some more commentary –
no.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
Okay. Thank you for the jingle. AdsWiz this week launched a new automating podcast buying capability on its programmatic platform. I don't know if you guys have read about this in Pod News or what. AdsWiz is one of the hosts that a lot of the big boys use. I think it's like $1,000 a month to host your show on AdsWiz.
You don't have to host with them to use AdsWiz. They actually power the majority of podcast advertising.
Oh, so now they've created this technology that will allow you to log in. Advertisers can log in, purchase, check out like it's a grocery store, like it's an online grocery store. You pick your spot, you pick your show, you pick your host, you upload the content, you're all done. And I just wanted to talk about it because Cast Plus did this like 4 years ago and advertisers would not do it. They would not, they want someone to walk them through each show. They want to, I mean, I'm like, they had everything. They had, you go in, you could have a sample of the show, you learn all about the host, you can email them, like they did the whole thing and no one was using it because Jenny Skog, who worked there, who was a friend of mine, she was the salesperson and she was constantly on the phone because they just wouldn't use the platform. So I'm wondering if it was just bad timing for Cast Plus and now that we have AdsWiz. And also there's another one, Pod Sites. No, that can't be right. That can't be right. There's another pod thing that does it as well. And I'm just wondering, like, will it be used or are advertisers?
Podcorn?
No. Yeah. But Podcorn, I don't know if you can shop that way on Podcorn. I know you can accept advertising on Podcorn, but I've not used it as an advertiser, but I did try to use Cast Plus as an advertiser. And I mean, it was a little buggy, but it worked great. But like, no one would use it. I think big advertisers want, so they want like an agent. They want like a person dedicated to them and their needs.
Right.
So I don't know. I just wanted to put it out there for discussion just to see what might happen. Like, will advertisers use it or will this – this is a very expensive product AdsWiz has. So I'm very interested to know whether or not they will create something everyone will use. I also feel like they've backed people – like because they run most of podcast advertising, like it's a bit of a monopoly, no? Like they're not going to have another choice.
Right. But I think that you're right. It's like people want what they want. You don't know if this, why this, when or how this is going to be working, meaning if it actually is going to work. Because how long did Cast Plus still doing this?
Oh, like, no, they folded in like 2018.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. It's like we won't really know if this is working until people use it.
True.
And a lot of the time with these news, and I think that this is where when we cover all of the rest of the coronavirus, like downloads going up and down and the different companies kind of like giving their insight into this, we won't really know what actually works until there's been time that's happened. And usually PR is PR. That's what you want to be happy about it. You want to be like, yeah, look at what we have. And usually PR is in a positive spin. So you think like, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe that they're doing this. And then you kind of forget. So I think part of it is going to see what happens with the actual advertisers. How is this going to, like, my feel with this right now is like, you're going to do a little bit more targeted sales to get people to advertise for podcasting, and therefore doing something automated might not be the best.
Yeah.
But for people who are in it and they kind of want to continue in it and don't want to go anywhere else, then it will be great. Cause then they can come in there and kind of like do like, let's just do this again. Or that's what I assume, right?
Like I had this dream that I could just like make like a checkout for our sponsorship for the event.
Right.
There's no way. They're going to want to hear my voice. They're going to want to know who they're talking to. You can't just fork over. And I mean, the people that AdsWiz works with, like, you know, they're like $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 campaigns. They're not just going to check out and use a credit card. Like, how's that going to work? It seems silly to me.
I'd be afraid like something goes wrong. Because, you know, when you buy something that is for you as a buyer, a little bit expensive, you know, like even if I bought a computer with an Apple computer online and I'm like, oh my God, here's like, I don't know, anything from like $1,000 to $2,000 and I'm just going to buy it online. There's still that feeling like, did it go through? Am I actually going to get the computer? You know, I mean, even though we know that this is happening and you're going to get the confirmation and all of that stuff, I think for ad buyers in this sort of unconnected thing, I'd be a little bit afraid because then what happens? Like, did it go through? What if it didn't work? Did you get the right information? Is it the right podcast? Like, you'd want a little confirmation.
Well, hopefully you'd get a confirmation email, but then
what? Yeah, of course. But
yeah,
like,
you'd want to hear with the thing and whether or not it went. Yeah, like, I want to hear a sample and know that you're not screwing it up or that I didn't screw it up.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll just see how it goes. That's why I just wanted to talk about that. And on the same tip is that PodTrac has downloaded audience data amid the crisis, the COVID crisis.
Well, actually, this entire list that we have here, we're going to kind of, I think we should kind of tap onto, because they're all the same. I mean, not the same data, but they're all the same information, meaning everybody's sharing, you know, the download audience data. Because what's really cool about the articles that you posted here, Jess, and then I added some of my own, is we are getting sort of like an overarching view of all of these different sort of points of view within the podcasting industry, because PodTrac, you know, doesn't really track all podcasts. It's, I would say, primarily like corpcasters, correct? Like,
yes,
the data that they filter.
Well, PodTrac, yeah, they only measure who's on PodTrac, which is most of the bigger shows.
Most of those bigger shows. And then we have a blog post here from VoxNest. And VoxNest actually really focuses in on the data coming directly from Spain and Italy, because VoxNest is like their headquarters is essentially, it's in Europe, and Italy is a huge.
They host almost all the podcasts in Italy.
Yeah. So that's a huge, that's fantastic information. And then we have some really great stuff coming from PodNews. PodNews covered this kind of like pulling information from a variety of different sources that are podcast specific, meaning like, let's say we as She Podcast would have submitted information and told, you know, James that this is what's happening with our podcast specifically. So he reported on that, but he also kind of saw it from like a bigger point of view. And then there is some information from Acast, which is an Australian company for a hosting company, where they are reporting as well. So we'll kind of like go through some of the key points that I got from reading all of this stuff up. And then I also wrote some ideas as to how this could affect I think the rest of us, right? Because
yeah,
most of us are not famous like this. But did you find anything specific in that PodTrac data that you were like, oh my God?
Actually, the one thing I think is really interesting, it's kind of like shallow, I guess, but I noticed that true crime has had a huge dip.
I know. I saw that. That was like a huge, that was I what I that noticed was, as
I'm,
well.
I'm highly amused by this only because yeah. It's almost as if our society was very thrill seeking. Like we were bored. Right. There was not much going on. So like most of, you know, America started listening to gory true crime about murderers and serial killers. And then all of a sudden, everyone's dying and you don't want to hear about people dying anymore because it's enough on the news. You know, it's enough to watch people warn you from their hospital beds and like, and talk about like the ages of every single person that's passing away. It's like, I don't fucking need any true crime. Like, let's take a break from that. So I thought that was really interesting. It did. I mean, everything seemed to have a surge around the 1st of March and then true crime like dipped way below what it had before, whereas everything else is kind of like in the same range they had before, except for, of course, the news, which is skyrocketed, which makes sense.
Yeah, the news. And it was really interesting because of the news, for sure. Huge growth inside of the news.
I did
comedy,
it too.
Comedy, sport. Like these are, you know what's really interesting though, and I don't know why this is what it is, but they really are only mentioning five categories. So they're mentioning news, comedy, sports, society and culture, and true crime.
Maybe that was just their top five categories.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if that's what it is, the top five categories. And then they just kind of like look to see what the growth rate was within. So what's interesting with the PodTrac article is that it reports on the weeks before, like year to date. And then it reports on the weeks, like starting at the beginning of March. And that's what it's talking about, that there are still some growth within those categories that I just mentioned. But in totality, true crime is like negative, negative 6 to negative 8.
It's really
sort of
sad because I know a lot of good true crime shows, but yeah, that's not going to be popular for a while.
Yeah. So that's
And then meanwhile, in Italy, I mean, I don't know. I just had a large Catholic assumption, but the spirituality podcasts are soaring down there in Italy.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy because it looked like it grew. What did they say in there? That's like an insane amount of percentage. Like it said, it increased
1,576% increase.
Oh my God.
Because before the end of February, it was like the only thing lower was what's the orange? Kids and family.
Well, kids and family actually grew three times as well. It looks like they're
because we're all homeschooled because we have to spend time with these motherfuckers now.
Right. So like spirituality and religion boomed with 15 times its usual listens, and then self-improvement and marketing, which is five times the norm, and then kids, three times the norm. So those three categories are the ones that are like totally like for this is for Italy. So of course it makes absolute sense, particularly in Italy. It is a Catholic. It's where the Vatican is, for gosh's sake.
Right.
And so it's like, yes, there is that. And there are quite a bit of Catholic podcasts out there. It's just, you know, you don't really, I mean, those are the shows that I started to listen to like way, way early on because I came across Father Roderick von Hogan, who is still podcasting, and he was doing a daily show way back in the day, and it was like really well produced. He did such a wonderful show, and I got to know so many of them, so I know that there is a lot, but it's very interesting that that's what happened in
very
here.
Very interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, but then now, interestingly enough, comment, if you will, Jess, on the difference between Italy and Spain, because Spain is not the same.
Some people speak Italian, and others people speak Spanish.
I know that. But like
they
the
all
number
look
one.
Similar. No.
Right. But the number one stuff, like what they did there, like meaning like Spain's category changes.
Oh, let me look.
They
haven't
been as drastic as Italy's, and they're actually completely different.
Italy is like, right. Whereas like Spain is, it has increased by, I guess they're saying if it's increased over 100%, it's doubling. I guess it's doubled. Right. But like, they've all pretty much stayed the same with the blue. Society and culture has gone way up. And what's gone down? comedy is up. And then the other ones, the ones that went down, books, guess because they're reading books. And then what's yellow? Technology.
Actually, yeah, but actually these are the ones that increased though, Jess. The society and culture, comedy, technology, books, and sports.
I'm looking at the orange one that did like a, it had a surge around the end of February and then it kind of like teetered off. I mean, yes, it's still bigger than before, but it teetered. It's teetering downward right now. Well, beginning of March. This is like a month ago. So this is actually, I wish they would do, actually the Spain one's a little less recent, drastic. Podtrack is up to the 15th of March, whereas this one ends on the 8th. And like, I know they were quarantined, but we were not. I was at PodFest.
Right. But what I'm saying is, I think that what's interesting with VoxNest is exactly what you're talking. It's like, these are the hosted shows. And I would venture to say that the consumption also is reflective of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Meaning like they're hosted in Europe, but they're also, a lot of their users or a lot of the people listening are also Europe-centric. And these two countries were highly affected during this time that they're reporting. So it could be that we see a mirror of that for us, but we won't know until later. But what's interesting in terms of the US categories, with increased listens, the number one category that grew was books, which is interesting. Then games and hobbies, then spirituality and religion, then current events, and then kids and family. So those five categories are the ones that like totally grew. For me, that's because especially the United States it's so fueled by true crime, comedy, and business is what I would think. You know, those are some of the top categories that I would imagine, like entertainment, like TV entertainment and stuff. To see the transition for all of this stuff.
The most amusing is the true crime, though, because I'm like, oh, we're over death now, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So, oh, well. I mean, but you have to see the kind of stuff that you have going on in there, right? It's quite interesting there to look at this data. Let's look over at the one with on Pod News that like looks at it from a variety of different points of view here, where James actually says that there are more COVID-19 podcasts than ever. Duh.
Well, yeah.
You know, before in 2019, there was hardly any COVID-19 podcasts.
Duh.
Like not even two or three.
Like barely any.
I mean,
they just exploded overnight.
Exploded.
Wow. Because none of, except there's a podcast called This Week in Virology that's been going on for a long, long time. So, you know, podcasts like that are still going to, anyway, but whatever. I mean, so obviously COVID-19 podcasts are growing a lot. And it says that they had, what is it? They had like a 370% increase in the listens between March 1st and 2nd, I think, where there are 12 episodes released. So these episodes, this is quote from the article, quote, these episodes which reference corona or COVID in the episode titles have been downloaded more than 27.5 million times globally to date. Every day, Acast is seeing a steady increase of corona-related episodes being published and listeners tuning in. For example, on March 1st, there were 12 episodes released and 277,000 listens compared to March 18th. When there were 96 episodes and a peak number of 1.3 million listens, and that's a 370% increase in the listens between those 2 days.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That's just insane.
For COVID stuff.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Like last week you were talking about how Spotify was taking an episode down because there was COVID-19. Is that calmed down or are they still whacking them?
They're still whacking them. And I think that part of it here is that there isn't as much vetting going on. And I have seen it. I actually saw in a different Facebook group that it's a Facebook ads group that I'm a part of. And there was a woman in there who had just started a Facebook ad campaign for a sort of like an opt-in where she was talking about ways to manage, I think it was like a health and wellness kind of thing, ways to manage the quarantine, essentially, like, you know, tips for staying at home and that kind of stuff. But she mentioned COVID-19 and you know, I don't know, like solutions and things like that inside of the post. And her entire podcast ad campaign account was nixed. And she had to, like, my suggestion to her was to remove anything that had to say COVID-19 or coronavirus and just write something that said, if you're feeling bored at home, or, you know, something that's solution based, but doesn't have those words in it at all, because they're not vetting. They're not looking at it and going, oh, this is good. Look at how many, 96 episodes just on that one like day. How are they going to be looking at that stuff and going like, well, that's a good one. That's not a good one. So I don't know.
You're putting it in the title because you want the search. You want people to search for that and find it. Right, and I think that's what
they're like really – like I know for sure that in Spotify and both in Apple Podcasts, there's possibility that you might either be kicked out or not. Rob was talking about something specifically where he helped a podcast get launched, and their first episode was about COVID-19 and it was not accepted. And then he just suggested to the people change the title, and then it was accepted. So I don't know what to say about that. I don't know if this is actually true. They said that it wasn't true, that they're not doing this, but I don't know. I don't know. And I think that the shows that have been out there before, meaning all the news companies, all the sort of reputable companies that have created this type of content, if you're already in, I don't think it's a problem. Meaning, like, let's say we put out an episode that was COVID-19 related and we kind of named it a little bit that actually reflected the content, you know, tips for she podcasters to survive coronavirus. It was business. I don't know, something like that. I don't think that we would have as much trouble as if we were a new show that was coming up.
You don't want to put that to the test, do you? You could make the title that, and let's see you next week if it gets taken down.
Let's not do that, because I don't want to take a chance. Because you don't know if they're going to kick your episode out or your entire show.
Exactly.
And I really do not want to deal with my show not being an Apple Podcast right now. Like, that's the last thing that right. I would want to deal with.
That's like getting wine on your white carpet. Like, you just don't want to clean that mess up ever.
Yeah, but also, Jess, it's like getting wine on your white carpet, and then you have zero ways to clean it up in the house. Like,
yes. No baking soda, no club
you
soda.
You have to wait for someone else.
Yeah,
who isn't working right now?
Yep. Right. It would be like horrific. So I would just like, I don't even want to deal with it. But actually something that James like talked about here that I haven't seen very much. He mentioned that bandwidth use is increasing by 40%. See that? It says Netflix, and this is a quote from his article. Mind you, by the way, all of these articles are going to be linked to in the show notes. So if you guys want to read any of this stuff, please feel free to go check all of these stuff out. So this is directly from his website on Pod News. It says Netflix has been asked to lower the bandwidth of its streams by some countries. They've agreed. In the UK, BT say daytime internet users has increased by 35 to 60%, but that it's still a tiny in comparison to the evening peak and isn't causing issues. In the US, Verizon says web traffic is up by 20%, and surprisingly, social media use is flat. Very interesting. Spain has seen an internet traffic increase of 40%, and Nokia sees that too. They run mobile phone networks in many countries. Cloudflare, which operates content delivery networks, is also seeing increases of up to 40%. Mm. So that's pretty nutty. I mean, in terms it of is. Like just usage and load is one of the biggest concerns that I have for some of this stuff. So I don't know.
And surprisingly, you sound amazing through this.
I know.
Through here.
You know what it is, though? I think that what it is that, I mean, I guess this is working for me because there aren't that many towers here. Like, I don't have cellular towers. I mean, there's like one that I can tap into, and there are no other service people. Like, I can't get internet. So how will it be weighted down if it's not here?
Yeah.
Right? And in my household, no one is allowed to go on my MiFi. So I'm the only one that's
using. So that's
why
it's good.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're not using anything. They have zilch, right?
No, they don't have anything to use. They can't.
What are they doing all day?
Right now they went on their iPad, which is, I don't know if you saw May. She came in and she had a sign for me. She's like, can we play on our iPad for a little bit?
Yeah, I wasn't.
But when they come in and they, she just asked me, it is games. So they have games downloaded on their iPads. And I think that they're watching shows that are still downloaded on their devices that I downloaded the last day that I was out in public at a public coffee place, which was like, I don't know, 2.5 weeks ago.
The 11th? So
whenever that was, I don't even remember. And then podcasts. So that's what they do. They play games on their stuff, and because they can't do anything else, they can't do it. You can't connect. So, but they've been playing.
Like, I mean, you already homeschool them, so you're not out. Like, I have a kid who's learning to read and write, and I'm still like, I don't know what the fuck to do with you today. Today, he decided he wanted to be a scientist.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it started yesterday when he started making Isaac's drinking potion, which is basically anything that will go in a cup and then try to make mom and daddy drink it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I just pretended and I told him how delicious it was. And he was so pleased with himself that he did it again this morning, made, you know, 2 drops of Coca-Cola with like a dash of milk, some salt.
Oh, my God.
Orange juice. I didn't drink it, but I just pretend.
Wow.
But yeah, he's like, you know, I'm like, well, what are some science? I don't know, 5-year-old science shit. I have to Google everything. And then I've got stuff to do for my own things. It's hard. It's been really, I mean, thank God he's not older.
Don't let him put baking soda in ketchup. I saw a video on that where it explodes.
Oh, I think I should let him do that then.
No.
I love it.
You probably don't.
Oh, in a bad way it explodes?
Yeah. I mean, the bottle took off and there was ketchup all over the house.
No.
Yeah. It was horrible. Talking about ketchup on white carpet. Yeah, it was all over the ceiling and the wall.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. She was, all these things you find in now because people are bored and they're trying to do it. And she goes, oh, I heard this. I'm going to have my fiance when he comes in. And she was putting it in there and she's trying to shake it up so it didn't look like it was in there. And it took off. And then she just showed the aftermath, which was not good.
Wow. So how are you guys staying connected with people? Do you feel I mean, John, you're the only one that's like truly isolated from all the other people. Like Elsie and I live with other people. So.
I have humans around.
Samantha and I have always duo. I mean, she's in Canada.
Okay.
And then so with the kids, we were also video chatting and texting and we have like a family text. And then on Saturday, a big Donnybrook broke out between the family and they're texting and, you know, there's 4 teenage and early 20-year-olds in there and they're having a Donnybrook and it's just like real. My ex-wife is saying a Donnybrook is like a fight.
Oh, okay.
And then so
– I don't know these Jersey terms.
Well, it's a baseball term, Donnybrook. Anyhow, so they're fighting and then the Kathy's somewhere and she's like, stop it. And I was enjoying it. I just thought it was fun to watch. It's fun to watch. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, it's the worst, and maybe we'll have to cut this out or whatever, but like when I call my dad, he and I are so similar in our personalities, and like, I'm like, how you doing, Dad? And he's like, I'm all right. I was like, are you staying in? Are you nervous? Because I mean, I think we are not unhappy being home, not particularly worried, very interested in the drama that's happening, like with Trump and like all the other, like it's very, I don't want to say amusing because that's a stretch, but it keeps my attention, all the complaining on Facebook and the being grateful and the Trump and then the guys like going against what he's saying and then him back talking, you know, what he said before. Like all of it is just like, it's like watching a worldwide soap opera. It's fascinating.
Yes.
It is.
It's really fascinating. If you take the human suffering out of it, it's fascinating. Otherwise, it's just sad. But, you know, we got to focus on what keeps you from being depressed. So
the best quote I heard was, you hired a reality TV star to be your president. Now you're in Survivor.
Yeah, it's true, damn it.
Here we are.
It is very true. So I've had a lot of Zoom calls this week. I have Zoomed all the people. I have Zoomed my a cappella group from college. I've Zoomed my camp friends. Isaac has his, didn't I tell you guys this earlier? Isaac has a Zoom with his classmates and like, I'm all Zoomed out, man. I'm pretty Zoomed out. I don't mind. Like this feels normal. Thank God it's on a different thing other than Zoom because, oh, and then the other thing is like, people are always like, why does it take a virus for us to all talk? I'm like, cause this is I was like, let me tell you why. Because we're all home.
Yeah,
dummies.
We're bored.
No, because we can't go anywhere. You don't do this with 40 people because you're all doing the other stuff and you don't want to. We have no other choice now, but we can't say, no, I'm not available.
That's true.
You have to go. What are you going to say? I can't do it that time.
Say, okay. Yeah, I'm not home.
I don't like it.
Of course
it.
I'm home.
It's silly.
I can't go anywhere else.
It still hasn't changed for me. Like, I would rather not.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I still, like, even with now with my girls doing the Zoom calls and stuff, I will set them up and they're happy. And I think watching them do their classes online, it's the cutest
hilarious.
Thing I think I've ever seen. It is so funny.
Yeah.
And then they get so excited and it's just crazy. So I like to see that.
Look at my zombie guy, guys. Like, look at
yeah,
my.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It is hilarious. But then when it comes to what I have found is that at least my work life has gotten so much more because we have meetings all the time.
Right.
We
and
have all this
and you can't
extra
say you're not
meetings.
Available.
Right. And it's just extra meetings that need to actually happen. So this is not like superfluous. It's like we really need to talk this out and we'll sit down and we'll do all this stuff. But it's like an hour a meeting, then I have another meeting for another hour and then another after that. That's like 3 straight hours of just meetings. And then I have to do the work. Then I have to write. I have to create stuff. I have to get the content ready. So I'm just like exhausted. And I always feel like I didn't finish.
Is this going to get in the way of our event work? Hold on.
Oh, he's in.
Then put it away. Daddy said no, put it away. He did not say yes. You were lying to me. I can see it on your forehead. Get out of my office.
I like that. I like that, you know. I used to tell my kids, stick out your tongue, and I would tell them it's green. They were lying.
No, I tell them it says lying on the – well.
That's what my mom used to say. My mom used to say that to me.
It's written on your forehead. Well, that's what my mom used to say to me. It's written on your forehead when you lie. So then when I told Nate and Emily this, Nathan would come up to me like this. Mom, I have something to tell you. Trying to head me off at the pass. And I was like, okay, what is it? Couldn't wait.
Yeah, I would say to Mike, are you lying? Stick out your tongue. And they would go – they would cover their mouth so they would stick out their tongue.
It's a perfect way to get them to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Isaac will call my fucking bluff. He'll be like, what's it say? He gives zero Fs.
Right.
What I think. He's like, what's it say? And I just, you know, anyway. So Elsie, so you're fine.
I'm fine.
You guys are fine.
I mean, they do the things. My family wants to have a call. And I honestly think that I don't even know how this happened. I was taking a walk. I've been walking. That's been great.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Me too.
Anyway, so I'm walking around and I'm going, why is it that my two brothers and I are absolutely 100% so antisocial and so introverted? I mean, to an extreme where it's like we could be in the same room and neither. I mean, we connect with each other hardcore. We cannot stop talking like at all. It's like amazing. But then if any more people start to come in, we all move out into the periphery and then involve ourselves with our individual devices, our little world. Like we no longer, even though it's full of people, we are no longer engaging. But that's how we are. So we're super happy to be quarantined. We are happy to not be anywhere else other than home and not have to deal with people. That said, I was like, why three of us and why like this? And I think it was because when we moved to LA, like when we moved to this country, I was 9. Luis was 3 years younger and the other one was 3 years younger. And Juan was like 3 years younger than that. So we had like 3, 6, 9. And we were never allowed to go anywhere. So we never went anywhere.
Right.
Like there was no going outside.
Right.
Yeah. We lived in court the entire time. Like I didn't go out and play at my friend's house. I was never allowed to go to anybody's house, like inside their house ever. I had to be indoors by 6 o'clock every single night. And you could hear everybody and the kids outside playing until 9 o'clock at night in the summers and going. I was never allowed to do that. I couldn't go to parties that my parents didn't know and they're not going to go. So I never did any of that.
This may be an immigrant thing because I had a friend on my block who was Filipino and she would go in for dinner and like, we'd be like, come on back out. Come on, we're going to play. And she's like, I can't. It's okay.
No,
bye.
I would look
her
outside.
Mother would never
the
let her out.
No, I would never. I was never allowed to go out. And she would come and get me if I was in anybody's house. Come on out. You're not allowed to be in anybody else's house.
That's weird. So what was she afraid of? Does she not want you to Americanize?
Yeah, I think that she didn't trust the behavior of.
She was ahead of her time.
Oh, and watch. And the other thing she didn't like is the fact that the introduction to media. So like there were, we had really strict rules on what we could and could not watch on television or movies. And actually, you know what we just watched as a family? We watched Batman, the first Batman with Michael Keaton. Randy was like, did you ever watch this? And I was like, you know, I don't know. And he goes, you know, when this movie came out, it was really big. Really huge. Everybody's talking about it.
Prince did the song. It was huge.
Yeah. And so then after I finished watching, I'm like, I never watched that movie. And then I looked at the date. It was 1989 when it was released. I did not watch a PG-13 movie until I graduated from high school.
Shut your face.
I was not allowed. To watch. My parents didn't even let me make me want to watch a PG movie. The only G. So then I was not allowed. And so even when we were at a family gathering, when like everybody was like, you know, all the Latino people together are at a party and then they're like, let's watch a movie. And they would have a movie played for everybody to watch. If it was PG-13, we were not allowed to be there. Or we would have to have like a parent like sitting next to us and telling like, close your eyes or put your eyes. So I was completely like the first time I watched an R movie, I was devastated for months because I had never seen reality.
Anything. Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
I was, I literally, you know what it was? It was Glory. I watched Glory and my heart was broken for days, for months, because I had never seen, number one, death happen that way. I had never seen war. I had never seen people not
so innocent
hating each other.
Yeah.
I never understood that this was actually, like, I never seen it in front of my face. I was a mess.
See, I think you picked the wrong R movie. My first R-rated movie to see was The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds.
I don't know what that is.
It's more of a comedy.
My parents let me watch Urban Cowboy. Or
I don't think I've ever seen either of them.
Or maybe, I wasn't allowed to see Roadhouse. I have to go back and look. I don't remember.
You might not even have been born when The Longest Yard came out. I think it was like maybe 12, 13.
But the moral of the story is that Elsie is familiar with isolation and suffering.
Correct. And so therefore,
so
my parents
decided. So this is like no big deal.
No. I mean, it's sort of like, well, this is what we went through. Oh, my God. So one of my best friends,
Michelle, the one I met?
No. My actual best friend from when I was in El Salvador, best friend.
Oh, my God.
My neighbor best friend. She wrote down, like, so we're friends on Facebook. And then she wrote a little thing. It was like 5 truths and 1 lie post.
Yeah.
She said, and then she wrote down like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of all these things. Like, you know, you guys in Spanish, right? What of these things were a lie? And then everybody, and then one of them was like, I was held up at gunpoint. When I saw that, I was like, oh. She was held up at gunpoint too, because I was held up. And when I was in El Salvador and I was young, I was held up at gunpoint.
Right.
So then later on, she writes in and she tags me. She goes, remember when we were coming out of school and we almost got killed when all of the gorillas were coming out? And I was like, oh, my God, it was your dad that threw us underneath the car. So like it literally is that was my time. Like, so that's what she and I have together is that we were almost killed coming out of school by gorillas running around shooting bullets.
That is a bonding moment for sure.
That is correct. Wow. And so I was like, oh, my God. So it was you then. So you were the one. Oh, my God. I forgot that it was you.
And it's funny that Glory devastated you, right? You went and through Glory.
Yeah.
You lived through it. And then you're watching the movie and it devastated you.
I think that the reason that that's what it is, John, is because most people don't have real life experience.
Like that. I guess you're right.
When it reminds you of the reality that you went through, it's so huge that you don't know why, how other people are living, realizing how horrible this is. And so when you watch movies and they are so graphic and you have no understanding of what it is, there's a sense of detachment. But when you've seen it, it's not. It's like, why is this even a move? Like, it was so heartbreaking for me to see all that stuff that I haven't watched the movie ever since. I'm sure that it's not the same. But I remember going like, my heart can't take it. I can't watch that. So, yeah, it was really
weird.
Wow,
that's amazing.
Sounds like me with any kind of movie by Will Ferrell.
That's Blades of Glory. That's a different one.
Yes. Whenever I see a Will Ferrell movie, I have the same kind of reaction.
A different movie.
Blades of Glory is like, him being an ice skater with John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite.
Right. Oh my God. Different type of devastation.
So that's such a weird movie. And Amy Poehler and Will Arnett play brother and sister during the time when they were married. This is really funny.
Oh my God.
They have this really weird energy through the whole movie because they're brother and sister. It's hilarious.
Eek.
I'm sure it was on purpose. Anyway, so I just wanted to see how you guys were doing. I don't know.
Let us know at some point, you guys. You guys can email us over at feedback@shepodcast.com. You can send us some feedback, audio feedback as how you're holding up. Cooped up.
Bonnie is sufficiently horrified. She wrote in all caps, OMG, Elsie.
I know.
Yeah, that's a scary story.
I think she was doing that because Elsie was jumping up and down and bouncing like she was so excited. I think that was the OMG.
I was ready to hear about a birthday present or something. And you're like, we were shot together.
We were shot at. When I was 8.
You were like.
Well, you know what it is? Okay, so now, but it's like,
so
I know. And it's, I know, and we were young, and I know that it's weird, but it's like, it kind of, the reason that it excited me is because I was like, there's a part of me that feels like nobody understands.
Nobody doesn't. You're right.
You're right.
And
no
so
one
then
has that
when
experience.
Somebody else has that feeling, you're like, oh, you too? Like, even if it's
scary
awful.
As shit, of course.
Even if it's scary as shit, even if it's like the awful,
you feel
and
alone.
But it's like, see, I get it. Like, you get it. I get it. Oh my God. Wow, I'm like you. Like, that it exists. I forgot that you're like me. So that made
so
it so made
Elsie
me feel like.
So Elsie is telling us about her connection moment from quarantine, and it's bonding over almost being shot.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about Zooming. We're not talking to acapella groups.
No.
We just noticed that our best friend from El Salvador and I were almost shot together.
Yeah.
That's how you're,
I have to
respond that's how you're connecting with others.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
That is how I'm, because now we can connect. I can like, post back up. Yeah, it was, anyway. And I bumped my head against, like, I remember the, what is that thing where the.
That part makes total sense. The tailpipe.
Yeah, I bonked my head in the tailpipe. And I remember her dad shoving us underneath the car so they wouldn't see we were there. And then I was like, I think one of us said like something like, I think I saw their face. And then her dad was like, don't you ever. Say that because
because
then we would be like a witness of some kind, because they were wearing things on their. I mean, it was really crazy. So yeah,
this makes so much sense. Your Christmas wish lists now,
because I wanted socks.
Because you want like warm socks and like grammar software. And now it makes sense because, I mean, why would you need something? Although I know you like the sparkly things.
I do. Yes. Because one
you would
must
never
sparkle.
Ask for those things, which is funny. All right. Anyway. Please reach out. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know how we can support you and help you. I mean, besides doing our recordings in this group, we're also doing QA in the bigger group. For two more weeks,
and then maybe we can do Instagram Live next time to do just a QA there and then still offering up dibs to our She Podcast Super Squad, which I think we're going to be doing some Zoom meetings in there and some kind of like more community building activities inside of the Zoom. Just because it's smaller, we've gotten a chance to get to know each other. You know, we had a lunch at PodFest. Did we even talk about that? It was so fun.
No, we haven't because we haven't. The first time we recorded was under forced staycation.
That's right. Because it's like there's so much goodness that I think we can really build up into the Super
time.
Squad.
We talked about it a little bit. That was the best time, though. I cannot wait till Podcast Movement or Podcast Con or anything else that we're going to be able to do that with again. That's going to be so fun.
For sure.
I'm excited. All right. Well, let's wrap it up because why not? Not like we have to go anywhere, but you're getting sick of us. We're getting sick of us.
I'm going to be going out there going like, what did you
Isaac
guys do?
Already came in. I wonder if daddy didn't give him any lunch because it's 2:00. Usually he starts ruffling around.
I don't think
for
my children have not eaten either. So,
all right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to find any of the links we talked about today, go to shepodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at shepodcasts. That's it. I'm not going to pitch the Super Squad because we're in the Super Squad. What's the point of that? For those of you listening,
if
you want the privilege
listening.
Of watching us live, you can go to patreon.com/shepodcast. $5 a month will get you access to this, not access, access to the access. Super Squad, where you can have live Q&As from myself and Miss Elsie Escobar. Thank you guys so much for listening. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.